Aren't you glad we serve Emmanuel, God with us? No matter what you may be going through, financial difficulties, maybe the passing of a loved one, whatever it is, God is here with us. He's not just present with us when we meet together as First Baptist Church of Fort Worth. He is present with us every day of our lives because he indwells in us in the Spirit. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ, whose birth we celebrate today, the one living and true God who became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And Father, we are thankful that even though we were rebellious and sinful against you, Father, that you sent your Son to die for us so that we could have eternal life. And Father, we are grateful for his death on the cross, but also his resurrection, so that we can participate and look forward and have hope with everlasting life in you. And Father, we thank you for creating us, but restoring us into a relationship with you. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. If you take your copy of God's Word and turn in the book of John to chapter 3, if you would stand with me for the reading of God's Word, we'll be in John chapter 3, and we'll read verses 1 through 17. Verse 1 says this: "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, 'Rabbi, we know you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him.' Jesus answered and said to him, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.' Nicodemus said to him, 'How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?' Jesus answered, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit.' Nicodemus answered and said to him, 'How can these things be?' Jesus answered and said to him, 'Are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved this world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved." You may be seated. Think about the most memorable, or perhaps the greatest Christmas gift that you've ever received. Maybe the greatest Christmas gift isn't the most memorable one, perhaps. About 2 or 3 years ago, we were celebrating Christmas with the senior adults, and we were in the youth room, and we always exchange gifts, and we were able to steal someone's gift. If you like their gift better and it comes your turn, you can take their gift. There will be a sermon on Exodus chapter 20 following this. But if you think about the gift that I got that day, I had a great gift. I think it was Eckridge Farm summer sausage. It had the cheese. It had the whole shebang in there. Then somebody stole my gift. Yeah, all is right. Wait till you hear what I got next. Got the package, opened it up, and it's a pair of pantyhose. thought, what in the world do I do with these? I don't even have a wife to give it to. I take it into the office the next day, and I ask Barbara McKnight, and I said, what do I do with these? And she said, you wear them. I said, Miss Barbara, tell me something that I'm not going to get fired for doing. The only two things that I can think of is I literally wear them or I go rob a bank. That's the most memorable gift that I can ever remember giving. It's, thankfully, I didn't wear them. And thanks to Miss Barbara for not persuading me to wear them. But the most memorable gift that you've ever received pales in comparison to the gift that we have in Jesus Christ. Amen. And that's what we're celebrating today. Really, we celebrate John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only, his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, should not die, but have everlasting life. And I pray that each and every one of you have that gift. That you don't go home and you just open up Christmas presents. Because your Christmas presents, one of two things are going to happen to them. They either rust or fade away or they break. We see the gift that Jesus Christ gives is eternal. Says to his disciples, he said, store up your treasure in heaven where moth and rust does not destroy. See, we have a gift in Jesus Christ that is the gift of all gifts. It's a gift superior to anything that we've ever been given. We sang God with us, Emmanuel. Think about our Creator, the one who spoke the world into existence. That same Creator who created you and he created me came out of heaven because we sinned and we fell short of his glory. And he wanted a relationship with us. He came to restore us. He left all of his kingly glory behind. He was mocked on the cross. He was belittled by the Pharisees and challenged in his authority. As a son of man, he had no place to rest his head. As an itinerant preacher, he depended upon the kindness of others. He did that for you, and he did that for me. You see, this is why this Pharisee, Nicodemus, is coming to Jesus in the night. Because he has a confession about Jesus. If you look in the first two verses, you see the confession of the Pharisee. First of all, you see the source for Jesus' ministry. He says, we know that you are from God because no one who is not from God is able to do these signs and these things which you are doing. Now, Nicodemus had one problem. He just said he is from God. He didn't say he is God. You see, we know from the very beginning of the text of John that this is God in the flesh. He is talking to the very Word of the Old Testament who put on flesh and made his dwelling among us. For it says in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It didn't say the Word was a God. It didn't say the Word was just with God. This is God in the flesh. He is talking to the one who created him and gave him life. Think about that. Think about Emmanuel, who knows what each of us are going through. The one who created us. He subjected himself to everything, temptation and every kind of emotion, every kind of human and physical pain that we went through and will go through. Because he wanted a relationship with us. Jesus himself made it very clear he wasn't just a God. He wasn't just a messenger from God. He made it very clear that he is God in the flesh. Remember the Pharisees? We studied a few weeks ago. The pastor was preaching about the man who was let down from the ceiling, and he said, your sins are forgiven. And the Pharisees became angry, and they said, only God can forgive sins. There's a time in John where Jesus says, before Abraham was, I am. That's unmistakably the divine name that was in Exodus 3:14. I am that I am. And remember their response to him, you're not even 30 years old. How is it that you're saying you before Abraham existed? You see, they understood. This wasn't put on Jesus' lips by the early church. This wasn't a figment of imagination. Jesus is not a fictional person. Jesus is the Son of God in the flesh. This is why we can sing. And this is why we can come here and worship, because we have hope in Jesus Christ. Not only do we see the source of Jesus' ministry, but we see the evidence for Jesus' ministry. Those are the signs that he did. Think about all of the signs that he did. You go over one chapter in chapter 2. You see him turning water into wine. You go into chapter 11. You see him resurrecting or resuscitating Lazarus from the dead. Jesus did all kinds of signs, not for his own glory, but to glorify the Father and point people into a relationship with him. Jesus' ministry was evidenced by works. Then we see not only the confession of the Pharisee, but we see the confusion of a religious leader. Nicodemus is confused about how to have eternal life. Jesus says that unless one be born again, Nicodemus understands that word to be born again. In Greek, it can have two meanings. The first meaning is to be born from above. See, what Jesus was really talking about is that salvation had come down. The one who came to save us came from heaven, and that's him. And that he is from above, and that he is of the Spirit. The one who is enabling us to have that salvation. Salvation is from above. You see, Nicodemus understood that as to be born again. In Greek, it can have those two meanings. And Jesus corrects Nicodemus. Nicodemus says, how is it that a person who is old can re-enter his mother's womb for a second time? And Jesus gently chastised him. He said, if I tell you heavenly things, and you haven't even understood this earthly things, how will you know how to have salvation? Jesus makes it clear that we are born from above. The source of our salvation is God, our Savior. He is the Lord. Not only do we see the source of our salvation being born from above, but we see the evidence of our salvation is through transformation. You see, we're not saved by works. We can't do enough good things in order for us to inherit and merit salvation. The Bible is clear. There is only one way that we can have salvation, and that is through Jesus Christ, the one who stood there in John chapter 14 and comforted his disciples, saying, if I go to prepare a place for you, I will return again. And then he goes on to say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father except through me. You see, our salvation is not dependent upon our works, but our salvation produces good works. This is what Jesus is talking about here when it talks about that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Flesh, in and of our weakness, can't produce goodness. No matter how hard we try, every one of us falls short. parents are here today, don't ask them how short I fell. But we all fall short. But in Jesus Christ, because the Spirit comes to indwell in us, when we ask Jesus to come into our hearts and we surrender our lives to Him, He transforms us from the inside out. That which we wanted to do before in the flesh, we put off. That which we never wanted to do in the Spirit, we now live by the Spirit. And we do the fruit of the Spirit. Peace, joy, patience, all of those things that are listed there in Galatians 5, 22-23. See, Jesus Christ, He transforms us. That's what it talks about when He says, the Spirit is kind of like the wind. You know, Spirit in the Greek is the same word as wind. He said, you don't see where the wind comes from and where it's going, but what do you see from the wind? It's evidence. If you came in this morning, you saw evidence of the wind. Many of you are probably like Brother Fulton. You had to put your hair down. That's evidence of the wind. We see evidence of the wind. We see evidence of our salvation. Just like Jesus had evidence that He was from God and that He is God, we also have evidence that God lives within us. We have that evidence. Then we see the correction from the Messiah in verses 16 and 17 about how to have eternal life. He says, and those... the wrong chapter there. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Through Him. The source of our salvation is through the Son of Man Himself. This is what it's talking about. It says, as Moses lifted up the serpent. If you go back to the book of Numbers and you read about the serpents that were entering into the camp because of Israel's sin, and Moses was told to cast that bronze serpent and put it up on a pole, and everyone that looked upon that pole would be made well. There's an even greater pole that was made of wood. That we have a Savior who was put there on that pole and hoisted up on that cross. That if we look upon Him and we confess our sins, we can be made whole. Not just physical wholeness, but that which is spiritual. We can be made well, holistically, spiritually, through Jesus Christ. And that's even greater than physical healing. Is it better for us to go through life with one eye, one arm, one leg, than to be cast in the pits of hell without knowing Jesus Christ and being eternally separated from Him as our Savior? The source of our salvation is Jesus Christ. The means of our salvation is the death of the Messiah. The book of Hebrews says, without the remission of sin, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. See, there had to be a sacrifice. There had to be that one perfect sacrifice in Jesus Christ that substituted our place and paid our penalty of death for us so that we could have eternal life. The means of our salvation is through that Lamb who is Jesus Christ, that Passover Lamb who takes away the sin of the world, the one that John the Baptist proclaimed. After 400 years of silence from the Old Testament into the New, John the Baptist anew proclaimed, this is the Savior, this is the Lamb, this is the Lamb of God who would take away the sin of the world. And throughout Jesus' ministry, Jesus foreshadowed and foretold of His death. If we look upon our Savior, we accept that which He did on the cross for us. we can have eternal life. And that's the promise of salvation. Eternal life. See, the gospel is very easy. And in some cases, it's too easy for an intellectual society such as ourselves. We think there's got to be more to it than that. You see, we have a problem. And that problem is sin. For all have fallen short of the glory of God. And not only do we have a problem, but there's also a penalty for our sin. For the wages of sin is death. But thanks be to God that there is a plan to deal with our sin. For the wages of sin is death, but then there's a caveat to that. But the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. But then we have to participate in that salvation. It's not through works, not through being a member of First Baptist Church of Fort Worth. It's not through any ritual that we do, whether it's baptism or the Lord's Supper. We participate through accepting the free gift which he offered there for us on the cross, and we repent of our sins. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all our unrighteousness. And then the promise, after we confess our sins, is that we can have eternal life. That's the gift that he offers. That's the greatest gift in all of this world, is eternal life. The greatest gift that you thought of earlier when I asked you, the greatest gift that you may have ever received, is nothing compared to this. Don't leave this auditorium today if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Outside of Jesus Christ, there is no hope. We may want to offer words of comfort and hope to people who do not have Jesus Christ, but there is none. The Bible says that alone in 1 Corinthians 15. We are to be most pitied if Jesus Christ did not resurrect from the dead, because we are still in our sins and trespasses. If we don't have a relationship where we have accepted him as our personal Savior, you are dead in your sins and trespasses, and you have no hope. But the good news is this. We have a Savior who came that we celebrate here at Christmas to die for us, to give his life for us, to call us his children, to inherit the salvation that he offers. Accept that gift. Today, let's pray. Our Father, we are so grateful for the gift of Jesus Christ that we have in him. We are grateful for the salvation through his death, but also the life that he offers through resurrection. And Father, we pray that if there's someone here today that does not have that assurance of salvation in Jesus Christ, that they would come forth so that we could share with them from Scripture how to have that life. And Father, we just thank you for being our Creator who is so invested in us that we can have life eternal through his sacrifice. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.